And I usually read you a couple of verses to sort of center us, but I'm going to just tell you one, and it's only half of one today. Hear these words. To everything, there is a season. To every activity under heaven, there is a purpose. So here we are, the last day of 2017, and it's still appropriate to say Merry Christmas. You don't have to give that up yet. It's appropriate all the way through January the 5th, and it's always fun to say it when people look at you like you're crazy and you just smile. So it is completely appropriate. We will be here next Sunday and beginning to celebrate the first Sunday in Epiphany. But for now, we're still in this season of Christmas. Now, that being said, it is the last day of 2017, and most of us are going to be hearing things like Happy New Year, because our secular calendar begins tomorrow. We talked in Advent about the fact that the Christian calendar begins then. And so many people make what we call New Year's resolutions at this time. But I have to tell you, I heard somebody say the other day that New Year's resolutions are made to be broken. And so personally, I wonder, well, why do we make them? So don't get nervous. I'm not going to ask anyone today to make any kind of New Year's resolution. But I will say that as I thought about this, the way we make resolutions and the way the church or those who follow Jesus approach the new year, it made me go to that fount of wisdom called Facebook. And I just posted a question, actually two. I posted two questions on Facebook. Here's what I said. What was the most memorable thing for you in 2017, good or bad, personal or in the news, looking for real answers? That's what I wrote. I had no idea what people were going to say. I had over 100 responses to this. I was very surprised. And the questions and, I mean, the responses were just all over the board, as you might think. Rhett is going to show us some pictures to kind of illustrate where most of the responses fell. Are you ready for the first one? He is. I know it. Actually, there it is. So the first one dealt with life transitions. So many people talked about the life transitions that we're all familiar with. Next slide. Loss of loved ones, that's one of those life transitions. But many people talked about the loved ones that they had lost in 2017. What's our next one, Rhett? The shootings in Las Vegas, that came up a lot. People mentioned that as something that was hard to fathom. Next one. Marriage. I have a lot of young friends on Facebook, people who've been in youth group with me or who I've met along the way, and they're all getting married right now. And just to see their wedding pictures, what a great joy that is for me to see them. What's our next one? This probably had the most responses of anything. Hurricane Harvey. And I picked that picture because it reminded me of something that any one of us would do when we were faced with such a catastrophe. What's our next one? New birth. There were lots of new babies born in 2017. What's our next one? The Sutherland Springs shooting. That happened on the Sunday as we were celebrating All Saints Day, just a few miles from here, actually. And then the last one. Very general category, family matters. So many people talked about the different changes in their families and all of the things that they were undergoing within their families. Thank you so much, Rhett. People got really, really personal in some of their responses. Now, as I read them, some of them made me laugh out loud, but some of them also brought me to tears. One friend of mine lost her husband last year in 2016, not 17. But at the end of that year, her husband died very unexpectedly and very quickly of a massive heart attack. And they had just finished building their dream home on the same property and really as an addition to the house where he grew up. And they were looking forward to grandchildren and all of the things that new homes and new places to live can bring. He was about 65 or so and a good friend of our family's. This year, her daughter lost her baby in the 8th month of pregnancy. And then maybe a month or so later, my friend managed somehow to fall down and break both of her legs. That's a lot for one person. These are the things that showed up on my Facebook feed. Here was another one. Hurricane Harvey, I told you there were so many responses to that. Devastation, displacement from homes, no electricity for days and days. One single friend, a single woman friend of mine was talking about all how hard it was, and she said, but at the end I found out that I could do a lot more than I ever thought I could. Churches having to move their worship locations. People who had just recovered from previous flooding only to be flooded again. There were also stories of the church coming and helping people clean out their houses and dispose of all of the muck and the debris that storm left behind. And as you well know, that is ongoing and still happening. In fact, there's a group in Columbus, Texas right now from the Hill Country District who are doing work in that community right this very minute. Some people spoke of retirements, of life-changing surgeries, of losing loved ones, including pets, of new babies, of mission trips, of brain tumors, of cancer, of being laid up for months and months after surgery and trying to recuperate from that. And many of these very same people gave thanks to God for his presence in all of these circumstances. One friend spoke of her daughter's accomplishments, and then in the very next sentence said her own sister was killed by a drunk driver. I didn't know that. And yet there it was. And then another post was that friend's husband saying what a blessing it was for him to preach at his sister-in-law's funeral after she had been killed by a drunk driver. Several people spoke of moving their declining parents to nursing facilities. And many reflected on the bittersweetness of life. I'm going to tell you right up front, bittersweetness is not a word. The computer underlined it, but I'm sticking with it. Bittersweetness of life, joy and chaos, joy and suffering all at the same time, and trying to find God's presence in all of it. There were so many responses to that pretty innocuous question that I asked, and I was really surprised at how many people wanted to share little bits of their own personal stories. And as I read them, it occurred to me that life is being lived despite the condition of the country, despite the condition of the economy, despite the condition on the home front, despite the threats from other nations. We all know that life continues even when we have to stop because of the interruptions that come from life itself. And so all of that then made me ask a couple of more questions. You know how I'm always asking questions. So here are two questions for us today. These are specifically for all of us to be thinking about. And Amanda, thank you. You did such a lovely job of getting us ready for these questions. One of them is, what will you leave behind in 2017? The second one is, what will you take with you into 2018 that will draw you closer to God? We don't do New Year's resolutions, remember. We look for ways to be closer to God every single day. But as I asked those questions, I started thinking about all the things that we drag around with us and how we carry baggage that we might not need. It made me think about the way that I actually pack for a trip. I always take more than I need. And even then, I can find myself needing something when I get there, even though I brought so much. Now, blessing for me, I have a husband who carries all of my baggage to the car. What if I had to carry all of that stuff by myself? How hard would that be? Thanks be to God, I have someone who carries that kind of baggage for me. If I had to carry all of that baggage to the car every time we go anyplace, would it make me more likely to leave things behind? Like knowing I'm going to be gone for 2 days and taking 4 shirts just in case I change my mind? I do that. Or taking 4 or 5 heavy books instead of just saying, you can just read one while you're there. Taking way more than I need. What if I had to carry all of that heavy stuff all the time by myself? Well, in today's passage from Ecclesiastes, we find King Solomon looking back over his life and wondering about it all. It seems that he comes to the conclusion that his life was long on experience, but maybe a little short on lasting rewards. Now, you might remember that King Solomon was the son of King David and Bathsheba. He had a lot to reflect about. And you might remember that in the end, Solomon, who was well known for being so wise, you know that he was known for his wisdom. But you might know that he came to the conclusion, finally, at the end of his life, that life is better lived simply, and that the hand of God is always with us. Even when we experience injustice, sorrow, suffering, and other things that weigh us down, God can be trusted to guide us and to be present with us. The things that weigh us down are often the very things that we should have let go of a long time ago, carrying all that baggage that we don't need. Solomon speaks of seasons. Now, we all know that seasons are temporary. There's a cycle. It comes pretty regularly. But no season lasts forever. In the fall, what happens? Trees let go of those leaves that have been growing since the spring. And they allow all that to fall to the ground to make room for new leaves to grow in the spring. We should be smart enough to do what the trees do. If the leaves never died and fell off, the trees would become so heavy that they would finally break from the weight. God's plan is for us to let go of things from time to time, not to hold on to them forever and ever. God gives us the chance to start over again. And we're given the great gift of being able to let go of things that diminish our joy and the things that wound us so deeply that we think we might never recover. God helps us carry our burdens, even as he encourages us to leave some of them behind. You see, we don't have to carry this baggage by ourselves, just like I don't have to carry my bags to the car. God does not expect us to carry this kind of baggage with us alone. It's all part of the plan of life to experience pain and to experience joy, to experience letting go so that we can make room for new birth. In John 10:10, Jesus says, the thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that you may have life and have it abundantly. Our lives cannot be lived in abundance if we don't know loss. If we don't have the entire package. Our lives can't be lived to the very fullest if we leave any of those one seasons out. All of the seasons are required. Every season's purpose is for us to draw closer to God. I want to say that again. Every season's purpose in our lives is to help us draw closer to God, whether it's the season of great celebration and joy or the season of deep sorrow. All of it is designed to help us draw closer to God. So I'm going to ask you those questions again. What will you leave behind in 2017? And what will you take with you into 2018? We leave the things behind that we no longer need to carry, and we bring the things with us that draw us closer to God. And here's a little secret. Every time we let go of something that weighs us down, we make room for God to work and to bring new birth into our lives. Now, this has been a very, very, very hard year for a lot of people in many respects. And yet God continues the work of creation, the work of healing, the work of salvation, the work of hope. And I suggest to you that the only way a Christian can approach the new year is by reflecting on those things that will draw us closer to God, by walking confidently into the arms of God, waiting to see life unfold as it always does. One of my respondents, I love this. One of my respondents said that he turned over leadership of the university degree program he had founded and headed since 2003. Now, for some of us, 2003 doesn't sound that long ago, but it was 14 years ago, so let's just think straight about that. 14 years ago, he birthed a program at the university where he teaches, and it's been his baby, and this year he turned it over to new leadership. And here's what he said. He said, "It's hard to let go, but it's time. It's time to let go. It's the season to embrace new birth. It's time to let go of the hardships, the hurtful things that people have said to you, fight with your spouse, the regrets of the past, and all that stands between you and God. A new year is upon us. How will this new year be any different from last year?" Well, I have a little news flash for you. We're still going to have shootings, and we're still going to have storms, and we're still going to have people dying, and we're still going to have people we're going to have all of that. So we can't control those things. What can we control? We can control the way we approach suffering in the world. And that is by holding the hand of Jesus Christ, who came to comfort us, who came to give us life abundantly. The one who tells us life comes in seasons. For some of us, winter has been going on for far too long. When will we embrace spring? Now today, I'm going to pass out these baskets on each side. It's going to be sort of like the offering time, only you're going to take something out of the basket instead of put something in. And you don't have to take anything out of these baskets. You can just let them pass by. But there's a prayer and a rock. You can take a prayer and a rock. And the prayer is written on a piece of cardstock so that you can post it someplace, maybe even in your car, on your refrigerator, on your mirror, wherever. And the rock is to remind you that God is our rock. Psalm 18:2 says, "The Lord is my rock, my fortress, and my Savior. My God is my rock in whom I find protection. He is my shield, the power that saves me, and my place of safety." And while we're passing, I hope y'all can pass things and read at the same time, because we're going to read Ecclesiastes 3, 1 through 8 out loud as Judy read it. I think Rhett's been working to take care of that repeated slide that was so big to me. I hope y'all didn't notice it. But he has made it right for us. And so let me pass these out to y'all. And if there's a if there's a empty row, somebody has to get up. I'm going to let go of it. There you go. All right. Or otherwise, the whole train stops. And so while we pass these rocks and prayers out, there's nothing that can put Scripture in you better than just to read it out loud. And so let's read these words slowly and savor them as we read them together. For everything, there is a season, a time for every activity under heaven, a time to be born and a time to die, a time to plant and a time to harvest, a time to kill and a time to heal, a time to tear down and a time to build up, a time to cry and a time to laugh, a time to grieve and a time to dance, a time to scatter stones and a time to gather stones, a time to embrace and a time to turn away, a time to search and a time to quit searching, a time to keep and a time to throw away, a time to tear and a time to mend, a time to be quiet and a time to speak, a time to love and a time to hate, a time for war and a time for peace. A time for everything. An abundant life cannot be lived if we don't get the full measure of God and what He can do in our lives to help us, even in the times of celebration, in the times of sadness and sorrow. So let us turn our sights to God in 2018. Let us look to God as the author and perfecter of our faith in this coming year. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen.